The World's Great Novels. Universally acclaimed as one of the superb tales of the sea is the story of a great white whale and of Captain Ahab's fatal monomania in pursuing it. The NBC University of the Air presents the first installment of a four-part radio edition of Herman Melville's adventurous classic, Moby Dick, another in a series of books that live, the world's great novels.
Call me Ishmael, mateys. Some years ago, I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world. It's a way I have of driving off the spleen. In fact, whenever it's a damp, drizzly November in my soul, and I find myself involuntarily bringing up the rear of every funeral I meet, then I account it high time to get to sea. So when I felt a lure to go on a whaling voyage, I stuffed a shirt or two into my old carpet bag and, setting out for Nantucket, reached there on a Saturday night in December. It was a dark and dismal night, cold, windy, and cheerless. I knew no one in the place. With anxious grapnels, I sounded my pockets and only brought up a few pieces of silver. "So, wherever you go, dear Ishmael," said I to myself, "be sure to inquire the price and don't be too particular." A few minutes later, not far from the docks, I dimly saw the swinging sign of the Spouter Inn. It had a poverty-stricken sort of creak to it, and I thought that here was the very spot for cheap lodgings. So I went in. Good evening, landlord.
Good evening, young man.
That's a boggy, soggy, squitchy night.
God help all poor sailors on a night like this.
Can I get a room here?
Sorry, lad, but there's not a bed unoccupied. Oh, but avast, you ain't no objections to sharing a harpooner's blanket, have you?
Well, I hadn't thought of...
I suppose you're going a-whaling, so you'd better get used to that sort of thing.
Maybe I could sleep on this bench here.
It's a foot too short, lad.
If you don't mind, tell me about this harpooner.
Well, he's a dark complexion chap. Eats nothing but steaks and likes them rare.
Oh, where is he? Is he here?
Yeah, he'll be here afore long.
But it's nearly midnight now. Does he always keep such late hours?
No. Generally, he's an early bird. Early to bed and early to rise. Yeah, he's the bird that catches the worm. But tonight he went out a-peddling, you see. And what on earth keeps him so late, I don't know. Unless he can't sell his head.
Can't sell his head? What sort of bamboozling story is this you're telling me?
It is no bamboozle.
You pretend to say, landlord, that this harpooner is actually engaged this blessed Saturday night, or rather Sunday morning, in peddling his head around this town?
That's precisely it. And I told him he couldn't sell it here. The market's overstocked.
Overstocked with what?
With heads, to be sure. Ain't there too many heads in the world?
I tell you what it is, landlord. You'd better stop spinning that yarn to me. I'm not green.
Oh, I can see that. Many's the lad who arrives fresh from plowed fields to go whaling with bell buttons to his waistcoat and straps on his canvas trousers. Poor hayseeds. How bitterly burst those straps in the first howling gales when they're driven straps, buttons and all, down the throat of the tempest.
I've no bell buttons nor straps either.
No, you're not green, lad. But you'll be done brown if that harpooner hears you slander his head.
Perhaps I'll break it for him.
It's broke already.
Broke? Actually broke, do you mean?
Certain. And that's the very reason he can't sell it, I guess.
Landlord, you and I must understand one another. I come to your inn and want a bed. You tell me you can only give me half a one, that the other half belongs to a certain harpooner, who, according to your story, sounds mad, and I've no intention of sleeping with a madman.
Be easy, lad, be easy. This here harpooner I've been telling you of has just arrived from the South Seas, where he bought up a lot of embalmed New Zealand heads. They're great curios, you know, and he sold all of them but one. And that one he's trying to sell tonight, because tomorrow's Sunday, And it would not do to be selling human heads about the streets when folks is going to churches.
Ah, so that's it. Though it does seem to me that a harpooner that stays out of a Saturday night clean into the Holy Sabbath to sell the heads of dead idolaters is a dangerous man.
He pays regular. But come, lad, it's a nice bed. Besides, I vum you won't see that harpooner tonight. He's come to anchor somewhere. So come along, then. Do come. Won't you come?
Very well, landlord. I'll chance it.
Brave lad. Here, I'll give you a glim and a jiffy. Now then, come along, right down the hall. So you're going to Whalen?
Yes. You see, I'm not so much bound to any haven ahead as rushing from all havens astern.
Don't rush too fast, my lad. There's death in this business of Whalen. Aye, a quick bundling of a man into eternity. Well, here we are.
Hmm. It's as cold as a clam in here.
Ah, but look at the bed. A nice bed. Sal and me slept in that bed the night we were spliced, about 100 years ago. So make yourself comfortable now, and good night to you.
Thinking of the head peddling harpooner, I undressed. Then blowing out the lights, I tumbled into bed, commending myself to the care of heaven. I had barely fallen asleep when suddenly I heard a heavy footfall in the passage. Holding a candle in one hand, and an embalmed head in the other, the stranger crossed the room without seeing me. I lay utterly still. Good heavens! Such a face, dark, purple, without a hair on his head except a small scalp knot. Some abominable savage here in this room. Suddenly he picked up a tomahawk from the table and put it between his teeth. The next moment the room was plunged in darkness, and this wild cannibal sprang into bed with me. I sang out.
Landlord, help! Save me!
Who devil you?
Help!
You're no speaky, I kill you.
Landlord, save me!
Yeah, what's going on in here? Oh, so it's you, Quickleg. Don't be afraid now, lad. Quickleg here wouldn't harm a hair on your head.
Why didn't you tell me that this infernal harpooner was a cannibal?
Didn't I tell you he was a peddling heads around town? Besides, better sleep with a sober cannibal than a drunken Christian.
Well, tell him to stash his tomahawk there. It's dangerous and I ain't insured.
Quickleg, look here. You sabby me. I sabby you. This man sleepy you. You sabby?
Me sabby plenty.
And he don't like that tomahawk neither. Put it on the floor. There. Now then, lad, turn flukes again and go to sleep.
Good night, landlord. I never slept better in my life. The next morning, I examined my roommate with much interest. Cannibal he indeed was. But he looked like a man who had never cringed and had never had a creditor. After breakfast, we had a social smoke together and were soon cronies. He made me a present of his embalmed head, then drew out $30 in silver, divided it, and made me take half. From that hour, I clove to Queequeg like a barnacle. Yea, till poor Queequeg took his last long dive. Learning from the landlord that the whaling ship the Pequod was up for a 3-year voyage, Queequeg and I sauntered down to the wharf, picking our teeth with halibut bones to take a look at her. There she is, Queequeg. Painted on her bow, the Pequod.
Me see him.
Weather stained in the typhoons and calms of 4 seas. A noble craft, but somehow a most melancholy. All noble things are touched with that.
Him cap'n on quarter deck.
Let's go and talk to him.
Me stay here.
Quaker by the looks of him. Wait for me here a minute. Are you the captain of the Pequod?
What dost thou want of him?
I was thinking of shipping.
Oh, thou wast, wast thou? I see thou art no Nantucketer. Ever been in a smashed whaleboat?
No, sir, I never have.
Dost know nothing at all about whaling, I dare say, eh?
Nothing, sir, but I have no doubt I shall soon learn. I've been several voyages in the merchant service, and I think
dost see that leg? I'll take that leg away from thy stern if ever thou talkest of the merchant service to me again. Merchant service, indeed, flames and flukes. What makes thee want to go a-whaling, eh?
Have a mind for it.
Why? What takes thee a-whaling? I want to know what before I think of shipping ye.
Well, sir, I want to see what whaling is. I want to see the world.
Want to see what whaling is, eh? Have you clapped eye on Captain Ahab?
Who is Captain Ahab, sir?
Aye, I thought so. Captain Ahab is the captain of the ship.
I thought I was speaking to the captain himself.
Thou art speaking to Captain Peleg. That's who you are speaking to, young man. I am part owner, and it belongs to me to see the Pequod supplied with all her needs, including crew.
Yes, sir.
So you want us to know what whaling is, eh? Now clap eye on Captain Ahab, young man, and thou wilt find that he has only one leg.
What do you mean, sir? Was the other one lost by a whale?
Lost by a whale? Young man, it was devoured, chewed up, crunched by the most terrible sperm whale that ever chipped a boat. So now I've given thee a hint about what whaling is. Do ye yet feel inclined for it?
I do, sir.
Very good. Now, art thou the man to pitch a harpoon down a live whale's throat and then jump after it? Answer quick.
I am, sir.
Good again. Now then, you also want to go in order to see the world. Was not that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Turn around and take a peep over the weather bow and tell me what you see there. Well, what's the report? What do you see?
Not much. Nothing but water. And there's a squall coming up, I think.
But can't you see enough of the world from where you stand without wishing to go around Cape Horn?
No, sir. I mean, the Pequod seems to me like a fine ship, and I want to go along.
Then thou mayst as well sign the papers right here and now. I shall put ye down for a 275th part of the clear net proceeds of the voyage.
That's not much, sir.
Not much? Why, with luck, it'll pretty nearly pay for the clothes you wear out on it. Not to speak of 3 years' beef and board, for which you won't have to pay one stiver.
Another thing, sir. I have a friend with me who wants to ship out, too.
Has he ever whaled it any?
Killed more whales than I can count, sir. He's a harpooner. Now, there he is now, Captain.
Call him.
Oh, Queequeg! Queequeg, come here!
Meanwhile, young man, you can sign right here.
Excuse me, sir, but where can Captain Ahab be found?
What dost thou want of Captain Ahab?
Before signing the ship's papers, perhaps I ought to see him.
He won't always see me, though I don't suppose he will thee. He's in his cabin. But you like him well enough. No fear, no fear. He's been sick, but he'll be all right again before long. He's a grand, ungodly, godlike man, Captain Ahab is. Doesn't speak much, but when he does speak, then you may well listen.
Yes, sir.
Great hunter of whales, and good to his crew. But mark ye, be forewarned. Captain Ahab's above the common. Ahab's been in colleges, as well as among the cannibals. Been used to deeper thoughts than the waves. Fixed his fiery lance in mightier, stranger foes than whales. He ain't a mere man like me. He's Captain Ahab, boy. And Ahab of old, thou knowest, was crowned the king.
And a very vile one, sir. When that wicked king was slain, the dogs, did they not lick his blood?
Never say that aboard the Pequod, lad. Never say it anywhere. I warn thee. I know Captain Ahab well. Sailed with him as a mate once. He's a good man. Not a pious good man, but a swearing good man. You understand?
Yes, sir.
He was never very jolly. And on the passage home, he was out of his mind for a spell. But it was the sharp shooting pains in his bleeding stump that brought that about, as anyone might see. And ever since he lost his leg by that accursed whale, he's been moody, savage. But 'twill pass, 'twill pass. And I assure thee, young man, better to sail with a moody, good captain than a laughing, bad one. Hark! This your ship, mate?
Yes, sir. Queequeg.
I'll have no cannibals aboard this craft.
What do you mean by that, Captain Peleg? He's a member of the church.
Oh, thou art skylarking. What church? Answer me.
I mean, sir, the same ancient church to which every mother, son, and soul of us belong.
What?
The great congregation of this whole worshipping world. We all belong to that. Only some of us cherish some private ideas, not touching the one great belief in God. In that, we all join hands.
Young man, I never heard a better sermon. I say, Quahog, or whatever your name is, you're carrying your own harpoon, I see. Did you ever stand in the head of a whaleboat? Did you ever strike a fish?
Cap'n, you see him small drop tar on water there. You see him?
Yes.
Suppose him one whale eye. Watch.
You hit it. Oh. And if that had been a whale, he'd been a dead one. Here, quick. Dost thou sign thy name or make thy mark?
Me make a mark.
Excellent. There. And now, young man, you may sign just beneath.
Yes, sir.
Ah, that's it. Now, gentlemen, you are both members of the crew of the Pequod. There's no telling how soon the vessel will be sailing, so get your gear aboard by night. And may the Lord have mercy on you.
As Queequeg and I set out for the Spouter Inn, I did but half fancy being committed this way to so long a voyage without laying my eyes on the man who was to be the absolute dictator of it so soon as the ship sailed out upon the open sea. But I said nothing and tried to think of nothing when suddenly a stranger in a faded jacket and patched trousers accosted us.
Shipmates, have you shipped in that ship?
You mean the ship Pequod, I suppose?
Aye, the Pequod. That ship there.
Yes, we have just signed the articles.
Anything down there about your souls?
About what?
Oh, perhaps you haven't got any.
What are you jabbering about, matey?
He's got enough, though, to make up for all deficiencies of that sort in other chaps.
Let's go, Queequeg. This fellow's talking about something in somebody we don't know.
Stop. You said true. You haven't seen Old Thunder yet, have you?
Who's Old Thunder?
Captain Ahab.
What? The captain of our ship, the Pequod?
Aye. You haven't seen him yet, have you?
No, we haven't. He's been sick, they say. But he'll be all right again before long.
Oh. All right again before long. Looky, when Captain Ahab is all right, then this maimed left arm of mine will be all right. Not before.
What do you know about him?
What did they tell you about him, huh? Say that.
That he's a good whale hunter and a good captain to his crew.
True enough. But did they also tell you about his losing his leg last voyage, according to the prophecy?
My friend, if you're speaking of Captain Ahab, of that ship there, the Pequod, then let me tell you that I know all about the loss of his leg.
All about it, eh? Sure you do? All?
Pretty sure.
Oh, and so you've shipped, have you? Names down on the paper. Well, what's signed is signed, and what's to be will be. Aye, some sailors or other must go with him, I suppose. God pity him. Morning to you, shipmates. The ineffable heavens bless you. I'm sorry I stopped you.
Okay, friend. If you have anything important to tell us, out with it.
I like to hear a chap talk up that way. You're just the man for him. The likes of you both.
You can't fool us, mister. It's the easiest thing in the world for a man to look as if he had a great secret in him.
Morning to you, shipmates. Morning.
Morning it is. Come along, Queequeg. And incidentally, matey, what's your name?
Elijah.
You're a humbug, Mr. Elijah. A humbug? So I thought at the time, little knowing. Well, we had not gone 100 yards, when chancing to turn a corner and looking back, who should be seen but Elijah following us? As we turned into the inn, however, he passed on. But that night, as we approached the ship in a heavy fog, I thought I saw figures like phantoms ahead of us. There's some sailors running ahead along the wharf, if I see right. We'd better hurry, Queequeg.
Oh, master.
Huh?
Going aboard?
Oh, so it's you again, Mr. Elijah.
Yeah, going aboard after all, be you?
Elijah, we're going to the Indian and Pacific Oceans, so we can't hang around chinning with you. He's cracked, Queequeg. Come on.
Wait. Did you see anything looking like men going towards the ship ahead of you a minute ago?
4 or 5 men. It was too dim to be sure.
Dimmer than you'd think. Just see if you can find them now, will you?
Why, they're aboard the Pequod.
Oh, sure of that, are you? Well, goodbye to you. Shan't see you again very soon, if ever.
Stepping on board the Pequod, no one who could have been the Phantoms were in sight. Only the crew. But there was not much chance to think over the matter. The ship was about to get underway.
Man the captain! Blood and thunder, jump! Spring, thou sheephead! Spring and break thy backbone! Why don't you spring, I say? All of you, spring! You with the red whiskers, spring! You with the green pants, spring your eyes out!
At last, the anchor was up, the sails were set, and off we glided. We gave three heavy-hearted cheers, and as day merged into night, blindly plunged like fate into the lone Atlantic. For several days after leaving Nantucket, nothing above hatches was seen of Captain Ahab. 'Twas the chief mate, Mr. Starbuck, who ran the ship.
I will have no man in my boat who is not afraid of a whale.
My first vague disquietude touching the unknown captain became almost a perturbation. And then one twilight, I caught sight of a man pacing the quarter deck with a barbaric white leg made from the polished bone of a sperm whale's jaw. Unconsciously, I shrank back out of sight. And further along, I saw the mate approaching him.
Excuse me, Captain Ahab.
Yes. What do you want, Starbuck?
If Captain Ahab pleases to walk the planks, no one can say him nay. But with the cabins just under the deck and night coming on, I thought there might be some way of muffling the noise.
Oh, you did you?
Yes, sir. A globe of tow on that ivory leg would...
Am I a cannonball, Mr. Starbuck, that you would ward me in that fashion? Go thy ways, I had forgot. Below to thy nightly grave where such as ye sleep between shrouds.
I hope you don't think, sir...
Down, dog, and kennel.
I'm not used to be spoken to that way, sir. I do but less than half like it, sir.
Avast.
I will not tamely be called a dog, sir.
Then be called 10 times a donkey and a mule and an ass. And be gone, or I'll clear the world of you.
Yes, sir.
Wait. Send everybody aft here.
Sir?
Do as I say, send everybody aft. You up there, mastheads. Come down.
When the entire ship's company were assembled, with not wholly unapprehensive faces, Captain Ahab eyed us in silence. Then suddenly he cried out,
"What do you do when you see a whale, men?
Stand up for him!
Aye, aye. Good! And what do you next, men?
Go away!
Guy in after him!
Aye, aye, aye.
You with the red beard, what tune is it you pull to?
A dead whale or a stole boat?
That's the spirit. Now, men, you see this $20 gold piece? Aye, you see it?
Aye, aye.
Going to nail it to the mainmast. And so whosoever of you first sights a white whale with a wrinkled brow and a crooked jaw, he shall have the gold. Skin your eyes for him, men. Look sharp for white water. If you see but a bubble, sing out.
Could this white whale ye seek be the one they call Moby Dick, sir?
Aye, Mr. Starbuck. It was Moby Dick that dismasked me. Moby Dick that brought me to this dead stump I stand on now. Aye, and I'll chase him round Good Hope and round the Horn and round Perdition's flames before I give him up. That's what you've shipped for, men, to chase that white whale on both sides of land and over all sides of earth till he spouts black blood and rolls thin out. What say you, men?
We're the last to hunt down the whale.
And I say, Captain, that to chase and point lances at such an apparition as Moby Dick
is not for mortal man. All who have attempted it have been torn into a quick eternity.
The prophecy was that I should be dismembered. And I lost this leg. But I now prophesy that I will dismember my dismemberer. Death to Moby Dick! And may God hunt us all if we do not hunt Moby Dick to his death!
Thus Captain Ahab cherished a wild vindictiveness against the white whale. All evil to him seemed visibly personified in Moby Dick. He piled upon the whale's white hump the sum of all the rage and hate felt by mankind from Adam down. And then, as if his chest had been a mortar, he burst his hot, hot shell upon it, dragging us helplessly after him.
Moby Dick by Herman Melville is one of the world's great novels, brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. Next week, this program will not be heard, but the week following, listen to the second episode from Moby Dick. And remember that this and many other fine books are to be had in your local public library. To enhance your enjoyment of these broadcasts, NBC offers you Herbert Gorman's Handbook of the World's Great Novels. Just send 25 cents with your request to World's Great Novels, Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27, New York. Moby Dick is adapted for radio by Frederick Schlick and the music composed by Emil Soderstrom, the orchestra directed by Bernard Berquist. The entire production was under the direction of Homer Heck. Ishmael is played by Everett Clark, Captain Ahab by Jess Pugh, the landlord by Charles Eggleston, Queequeg by Boris Aplin, Peleg by Arthur Peterson, Elijah by Kurt Cooper, Starbuck by Don Gallagher, and Red Whiskers by Joe Anthony. Remember, great novels will not be heard next week, but will return to the air the week following. This is David Garraway. The program came to you from Chicago. The war is not yet over for many of our men in uniform, and so the USO must and will continue to make life pleasanter for them. Stand by the GI. Contribute generously to the USO. Remember, they still need USO, and USO is you. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.